There's a lot of writers in independent media, or what you'd call independent media. There's very few the quality and the level of our next guest. He is world-renowned and should be for his incisiveness, his preciseness, I would say. James Perloff is a hero to a lot of many people. JamesPerloff.com is his website. James Perloff, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Well, thank you, Dan. It's great to be on with you. I've been on with you several times, and you know, as well as with your predecessor, Joyce Riley.
Yeah, very good. I love your books. Well, your one of your past books, Tornado in a Junkyard. I always thought that was such a great title. Your book we're going to talk about today, COVID-19 and the Agendas to Come, Red Pilled. Never more pertinent is this and the conclusions here. I love this book. I think it's easy to read. I think it's simple the way you've presented this information. What was the motivation? Why did you write this book?
Yeah, well, I was working on a book on 9/11, and I experienced a lot of frustration with the whole story of 9/11. As you know, there's many conflicting theories about how the Twin Towers came down and what happened on board the airplanes. And I really wanted to be like a good jury member and be completely objective and get to the bottom of that situation. I found out we ran a lot deeper in the history of American foreign policy than these last two decades. It goes back to the 70s, that story. But I interrupted writing that book because of COVID. You know, COVID is threatening to destroy America as we know it. This lockdown, which is so much more destructive than the viruses, not to say that the virus is not harmful, but we've had much worse pandemics than this, and we never came anywhere close to the lockdowns that we see today. I realize that this is almost like the end game for them. This is almost like their final push to establish their new world order worldwide. And I said, there's nothing more important. It's more important at this moment than 9/11. As critical as 9/11 was in introducing the Patriot Act and wars in the Middle East and restrictions on our civil liberties, I knew I had to do something. And when I heard the White House talking about Operation Warp Speed to get what's probably going to be a mandatory vaccine out there, I said, I've got to respond at warp speed. So I originally had an article on my website, jamesperloff.com, with a similar title. It's COVID-19 Red Pilled. But as you know, events kept developing, new statistics kept coming out, new violations of our civil liberties, new bankruptcies, et cetera, new experts coming out and saying things. And I kept updating the article, and people said, well, how do I know what the updates are? So I said, well, you know, I'll put the updates in italics with a date so people can know what's new. But I kept doing that, and eventually I felt the article was too long to read online. The book itself turned out to be over 200 pages. And also I think it was confusing for new readers to try to distinguish between old and new material. So I decided, yeah, let's just make this into a book, especially we're in an era now where you've experienced it yourself with the Power Hour, where they took down your channel on YouTube. Digital information is disappearing fast. So I said, let's put this information into hard copy. So in this book, COVID-19 and the Agendas to Come, Red Pill, you'll find many people, Judy Mikovits, Dolores Cahill, Drs. Erickson and Masihi, Del Bigtree, other people have been censored. You'll find their censored statements. I made transcripts or found transcripts of what they said. I selected key excerpts, and they are all in the book.
I love the way you presented it. I cannot get over, and I've read a lot about this subject, but the way you presented it, here's the simple chapter, short chapters, quotes, boom, mm-hmm. Here's comments. I think it's brilliant. There's two separate things here, and we're going to talk about both of them. One is you mentioned, what is the end game? What is the results of all this? Two, let's go back to the virus itself, kind of what they've done to this point. I'm going to read a quote from your book and get your comment. This is on page 24 of your book. So what's the science behind social distancing? There's one systematic review article that looked at how effective social distancing is in reducing the spread of influenza. It looked at 12 modeling and three epidemiological studies. Excuse me. Unfortunately, all three of these studies were highly biased, and therefore the results are not usable. And if you have any familiarity with the computer modeling, you'll understand how highly unreliable these results can be. Now, this is a quote from Dr. Sam Bailey, discussing Great. Social distancing. I want to start there. Your comment on any of that, and just, is there any sense at all to these things that they've told us to do?
Well, I also quote a study from the British press where from two doctors at Oxford University, they took a look at 172 medical studies. These are Professors Carl Hennigan and Tom Jefferson of the University of Oxygen, of Oxford. And they could not find one study that supported social distancing, especially with COVID. You know, it's a new phenomena, even though it's related to other coronaviruses. And it came out so fast, nobody really did a controlled study on it. But let me just quote another epidemiologist, Dr. Gerald Evans, medical director of infection control at Kingston Health Sciences Center. That's in Ontario, Canada. He said this, quote, "To get infected with this virus, you have to be in close contact with another person, and that contact has to be for a significant amount of time. It's not 10 or 15 minutes, it's hours. It needs to be in a closed environment, a house. And in the environment, there has to be a significant amount of contamination." In other words, a high level of the virus. This whole thing, Dan, you know, I'm a registered nurse myself for 45 years. I retired last year, probably just in the nick of time, because work has gotten very hard for all people in health professions as well as other professions. But in the history of America, we have never quarantined healthy people. This is a new phenomenon. There is no justification for it. There's no scientific basis for it. You know, if obviously if you have a fever, if you're coughing, if you've got phlegm, you know, you have a flu-like symptoms, sure, you want to isolate yourself. You want to stay away from others, especially until your temperature's down and your cough starts to dissipate. But this idea that perfectly healthy people now need to wear masks and stay 6 feet apart, this is something we've never seen before, and we've seen worse pandemics in my lifetime that we never called for measures like this for.
I think that statement deserves repeating. We have never quarantined or never restricted healthy people before. Mm-hmm. That is a profound statement. Why? I mean, other than something nefarious or some control mechanism, can please explain to us why now with this? Why in the world would this be the time that we needed to do that?
Well, I think you used the right terms there, nefarious. You know, that's what we're really up against. We're certainly not dealing with anything that is remotely scientific. Some people think that the reason they want social distancing, you know, they're putting these 5G satellites up, tens of thousands of them at low altitude, and they're building this surveillance grid that will cover the entire planet. I mean, there's no place on Earth to escape it. Some people think, and this is a theory, okay, this is not fact, it's theory, but some people think that the reason they want people 6 feet apart is so that they can identify and perhaps even target specific individuals through their smartphones. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I do know that many, many scientists have said that there is no basis that you have to worry that a perfectly healthy person is going to infect you from 6 feet.
How in the world, they keep shoving this idea also, trust science, believe in science. How can we trust science when there's so many conflicting opinions about this in the scientific community? It's pretty obvious that the political side is winning. How can we even trust science ever on this?
Right. Well, science is a great thing when it's honest. Unfortunately, the public has been led to believe, and I learned this. You mentioned my book, Tornado in a Junkyard. Darwinism was foisted on people as science. You know, people thought that it was, you know, something that had been established by scientific method, like physics and chemistry. Well, you know, physics and chemistry is very clear cut. You know, in physics, you know, the law of gravity, you drop something, it will fall. Or in chemistry, there's a law that water will boil at 212 degrees Fahrenheit. You can test that repeatedly. It'll prove true. But Darwin was talking about things that he imagined happened to animals millions of years ago. And there's no way you can test things that happened millions of years ago with the same level of accuracy that you can test things that are happening right now. Darwinism was not repeatable or observable. It was all speculation. And that's the kind of phenomenon we're dealing with right now. We're not dealing with the kind of science that physicists and chemists use when we're talking about COVID. We're talking about things that are truly political, that are going to be used for political agendas. This whole thing about contact tracing, for example, there's no utility in it. I have chapters in every facet of COVID in my book. About 27 short chapters. There's one in contact tracing, and I quote a lady there who was trained as a contact tracer, and she supplies documents from her own class and from the state to validate what she's saying. But what she says is that under, at least in her state, that a person could be quarantined perfectly healthy for 14 days just for being in the same building. You know, if you're in a Walmart with somebody tested positive for COVID, you could be quarantined for 14 days even though you're perfectly healthy. Again, this goes against all the precedents of science we've seen before, all of the precedents of medicine.
Let's talk about testing. Obviously, there's been a lot of discrepancies. Let's just use that word. I think that's a generous word. There's been some discrepancies in numbers, totals, deaths, what have you. What do you make of this testing? I don't trust it at all. What is your position in your book?
Well, I say that it's questionable. I don't want to say that it's absolutely inaccurate. But one of the main things that's come out about the PCR test, and I quote Beta Stadler, former head of the Institute of Immunology in Bern, Switzerland, he says that all the PCR test is doing at this point is identifying some fragments of DNA from the COVID virus, which people may have encountered a long time ago, and it amplifies them. But he says it does not in any way imply that you are infectious. In fact, his opinion is that COVID has actually gone at this point, at least in Europe or in Switzerland. So we had an article come out. It came out too late to get my book, but just this past week, the New York Times ran an article on PCR testing, and they said that up to 90% may be false in the sense that it's not revealing whether or not you actually represent any risk to someone. It's just, as Dr. Stadler said, just representing the fact that you've got some fragments of this virus. Take a little further, I quote a very smart lady, Dr. Dolores Cahill from University College in Dublin, one of the world's PhD immunologists and biochemist, one of the world's leading figures in the field of immunology. And she's pointing out the same thing. She has pointed out that SARS-CoV-2, which is the name of the COVID virus, is 79% similar to SARS, which was that is documented in Lancet. And she says that, you know, 15%, up to 15% of the world's population was actually exposed to SARS. She said, if you're exposed to SARS, you're going to test positive for COVID, which is so similar. So there's all kinds of reasons not to trust these tests. And again, if I was in charge, I would say, okay, if you're sick, if you're infectious, you're coughing, fine, be isolated. But to take perfect people who are just as healthy right now in 2020 as they were in 2019, to make workers stand there with all day with masks on, you know, there's quite a bit of data against masks. I quote Dr. Russell Blaylock, who cites many, many studies against it, how it raises your carbon dioxide levels, it lowers your oxygen levels. And as a matter of fact, OSHA has a standard. This is, you know, our own government. Occupational Safety and Health Administration says that no worker should be required to work in an environment which has less than 20.9% oxygen. And yet, Nino Vitale, who's a state legislator out in Ohio, I quote him in my book, and you can see his YouTube video. He did a test using a very sophisticated oxygen measuring device on students who are wearing various kinds of masks, and the oxygen level you're breathing is only 17 to 18% with the mask on. So you're well below OSHA standard when you do that. They are making people sick. This is not healthy. There is no medical precedent for it.
Let's talk about the origin of the virus. Where did this come from?
Okay, well, this book is divided into five sections, and I start with the lockdown because I thought that's the least debatable of these. But when we're talking about the origin, I start with a short chapter on the mainstream story, which was, you know, the claim that it came from the Wuhan seafood market and people were eating bats.
Bats, yeah, some rancid bat or whatever.
And all that. So I give them space. You know, I feel that they're due space. But now there's dispute whether or not that seafood market actually even sold bats. That's been challenged even in the mainstream. But then I move on to some of the theories about COVID. And the one that I start with is the bioengineering theory. And this is supported by quite a few people. Dr. Shiva Ayyadari, who has 4 degrees from MIT, including a PhD in bioengineering. He actually, by the way, was running for in the Republican primary. I voted for him, and I was surprised he got 40% of the vote up here in Massachusetts, which we are the liberal state of that. But he got 40%. I was very impressed that he did that well. I wish he'd won. But he says that it's definitely bioengineered. Other people who say it's a bioengineered are Luc Montagnier, who won the Nobel Prize for discovering the HIV virus, even though Dr. Fauci tried to steal that prize from him after Montagnier submitted the samples to him. As it goes back to the 1980s. Dr. Francis Boyle, who actually drafted the language, the U.S. language of the Biological Weapons Convention, he cites several studies pointing to the fact that this is a bioengineered weapon. There was a study by 9 scientists from India, and they pointed out that there are certain changes in the COVID virus, which again is related to the SARS virus, and they say that these could only have come about not by chance, but through deliberate manipulation. But that paper was marked withdrawn, but according to Luc Montagnier, that was done under political pressure. Also, I quote Merrill Nass, who's a bioweapons expert and MD. There's quite a bit of evidence that's pointing to this being a bioweapon. In fact, back in 2015, the magazine Nature published an article condemning the bioweapons Level 3 safety lab in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. It was doing work on SARS that had gotten samples from Fort Detrick, where we keep our own U.S. biological weapons, or you can call them biological defense now, this is a preferred term. But they were working with scientists from the Wuhan bioweapons level 4 lab from Wuhan. Dr. Zhengli Shi was there. And then Newsweek has pointed out that even after that project was stopped, and which was in violation of U.S. moratorium on biochemical weapons research, Dr. Fauci's NIH, National Institutes of Health, made an exception for Chapel Hill. Then they moved the research on to Wuhan, was continued again with financing from the NIH, from Dr. Fauci. He's well aware of what's going on. Even Newsweek exposed him on this particular fact. So that is one theory. I'm going to pause here. There are several other theories about...
Let
me stop there.
Okay. Okay, I don't know how far you want to go. I'll ask the follow-up question there. How you say theory? These are corporate media's coming out with saying the same thing you're saying. A lot of people are saying the exact same thing. Judy Mikovits is saying basically the same thing you're just saying. This isn't. I mean, we're a little above the theory part on this, are we not?
Right. Well, I certainly don't accept that it's a natural phenomenon. But there are some other theories, such as the
Of 5G. Let me be clear.
There are other theories, and I wanted to give a voice to them all, and within my book space.
Well, no. Let me be clear. What I mean specifically, that the connection between the UNC lab, it was shut down after public outcry because it was against the bio, the Geneva Convention of biomedical weapons or whatever it is. It was shut down. The research continued in other places, including Wuhan. There was a direct connection between NIH, Fauci, so to speak, and Wuhan. That's just about indisputable, isn't it? That's not a theory, is it?
No, those are indisputable facts. If that's the entire explanation for what happened, I don't know. You know, it's always possible that another country, there are many countries that are part of the Biological Weapons Convention. Biochemical weapons are included in many countries' weapons supply systems. There could have been another country. And in Wuhan, right before the outbreak, they had what they call the World Military Games with representatives from 110 countries. These were military athletes, but of course they're accompanied by other military personnel. Anybody from any country could have brought that there. I think that the Chapel Hill, Wuhan connection is extremely suspicious. If I was looking for a likely candidate, that would be it. But it is not necessarily the only explanation, and that's why I want to leave it, not try to state it definitively.
We got about a minute and a half before the first break. Let's state it this way. Let's assume that this virus is man-made. I mean, I'm pretty much convinced of that. The virus is man-made, whether it came from X, Y, Z, or whatever. It's man-made. How should that change our perception? What are the implications of that for how we're dealing with this?
Well, it's deliberate. In one of the actually the chapter after the bioweapons theory, I get into was this a deliberate dispersion or was it by chance? And we talk in there. I know we're coming up on the break, but we talk about Event 201, the Crimson Contagion drill, the Netflix series Pandemic that came out in January. There were so many predictors of this event, so many things that showed they knew it was coming, far too many for me to accept that this was just a chance. You know, it just happened to leak out of the Wuhan lab or something like that. This looks like it was a deliberate setup. Too many predictive events, especially the Gates Foundation negotiating contact tracing deals with Congressman Bobby Rush, who introduced the Contact Tracing Act months before the Wuhan outbreak. This is amazing information, but it's in the book, and it's you can find it on the internet very easily.
Have you seen the news coming out about these tests from the World Bank that they were giving COVID tests in 2017 and 18 to different countries from the UN? Have you seen that breaking?
Yeah, I've seen that. I have not explored it deeply. It came out too late to get published in my book, which came out on August the 20th. But yes, I have been following some of the information on that.
Well, I've just kind of become aware of this. I vetted it as much as I can on the computer. I don't know. I just want to see if you, I mean, if this is real, my God, you mentioned Event 201, Plandemic 2 talks about that a lot. We'll talk about that on the other side. Bill Gates.
Sure.
And what are the ramifications of this? I mean, what really are we looking at? More with James Perloff on the other side. James, before the break, you got about 30 seconds. Did you come to any conclusions about 9/11 that maybe, people didn't? Didn't know about?
Well, I think that it went much deeper than we thought, that it went much deeper in time, that it interrelated to other events such as Abu Nidal and how he was replaced by Osama bin Laden as the face of terrorism, and how there was a link between U.S. and Israeli policy that went very deep, going back at least to 1979 and probably before that. But I was looking, trying to get a very whole picture of it, but too much to go into at this time.
Yeah. You have 30 seconds, James. What do you want? It's only the biggest story from 2001. More with James Perloff on the other side. JamesPerloff.com is his website. P-E-R-L-O-F-F is his last name. You're listening to The Power Hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, and I was so excited. I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a vitamin toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
If you eat your manna food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Having a good time here with James Perloff talking about his new book, COVID-19 and the Agenda to Come. Red-pilled. COVID-19, red-pilled, and the agendas to come. More than one agenda. ThePowerMall.com, that's a great site to find all the products that we talk about. Your health, your independence, is your responsibility if you haven't noticed. The people that we've trusted, they've let us down a little bit. We want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you. And a lot of great products on the Power Mall to help you to do that. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Getting back to James, JamesPerloff.com is his website. You can get the book there. Of course, Amazon, anywhere else. COVID-19, red-pilled, the agendas to come. We've kind of talked about the background. Maybe one other thing, 5G. Where does 5G come in all this?
Okay, 5G, I personally would not conclude that 5G was responsible for COVID, as David Icke and some others have suggested. And in my book, I have a chapter called The 5G Theory, and I quote people on both sides. You know, I know that Derek Brose and James Corbett did an interview, and Derek Brose said, well, you know, I was in Houston when they did the rollout of 5G there, and we didn't get COVID. But on the other hand, there are scholars like Dr. Magda Havas, PhD, who's pointing out that there is a correlation between the incidence of 5G and COVID, that there's much higher incidence. It's not exclusive, of course.
It's about double.
Go ahead.
No, it's about double, Magda Havas.
Double. Dr. Ronald Kostoff of the Georgia Institute of Technology is putting out a 1,000-page paper on the harmful effects of electromagnetic frequencies, and he believes that COVID outbreak may be incidental to weakening of our immune system from EMFs, from specifically 5G. And I don't think it's a coincidence myself. I don't think it's a coincidence that Wuhan was the rollout city for 5G. We saw something very interesting happen in Wuhan that we didn't see anywhere else. And this was the people who dropped dead in the street. Now, some people say they're crisis actors. I can't comment on that. But it seemed that people were being killed instantaneously. We did not see that with COVID elsewhere. And there's an excellent book out. I want to recommend it. I've got it about halfway through it. It's called The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg. And he talks about how past pandemics of flu, the Russian flu of 1889 correlated with the rollout of electricity. The 1918 Spanish flu correlated with the rollout of radio, which some people also feel correlated with the vaccination of our U.S. soldiers. But in the 1950s, when we're getting paranoid about, well, I didn't say paranoid, when we're worried about Russian, possible Russian nuclear attack, we put up all this radar. And after that, we got the Asian flu of 57. And then in the late 60s, we started putting up satellites and we got the Hong Kong flu. And so what Furstenberg points out is that we are basically electrical creatures. Our nervous systems are quite electrical. And when we interfere with the electrical envelope of the Earth, the ionosphere, that it makes us prone to illness. And he believes the same thing is going to happen with 5G, which I should really emphasize, no safety testing whatsoever has been done on 5G. This was admitted to Senator Richard Blumenthal in a congressional hearing by representatives of the telecom industry. There is no safety testing. We already know that 4G is quite harmful, that it can cause cancer, that it can cause DNA damage, that it can lower sperm counts. These electromagnetic frequencies are very dangerous, and we are getting them greatly amplified by 5G. I don't think it is irresponsible to say that a second wave, which you know Bill Gates keeps boasting that there's going to be a pandemic too, could be related to the 5G rollout, which has not been slowed down in the slightest by the economic destruction caused by COVID so far. So 5G, I talk about the, you know, scholars on both sides of the issue, responsible people on both sides of the issue, and I also have another chapter called Other Theories About 5G, where I give voice to Andrew Kaufman and Dr. Zacks and Dr. Stephanie Sneff and others, Dr. Broxmeyer and others, who have other theories related to 5G, which are less have been given less room in
what's Stephanie's theory,
which it should be discussed, at least given a voice to.
What's Stephanie's theory? We've interviewed her a couple
Stephanie
times.
Sneff. Oh, you've had her on.
Yeah. What's her theory?
Okay. She talks about glyphosate. You know, the carcinogenic product of Monsanto, which is now owned by Bayer. And she points out that now we are not only getting glyphosate in our foods, but we're breathing it in because they have these biofuels now, which are made from food products that contain glyphosate. And she believes that in industrialized cities, such as Wuhan and New York City, that people are breathing in glyphosate, and this is causing a lot of what we're seeing with COVID. That's her theory. She has a paper on it, which I referenced there. She's a woman I respect a lot. Dr. Zach Bush is somebody who has a similar theory. He believes that air pollution, I don't want to oversimplify what he's saying, but he says that air pollution, including possibly glyphosate, are contributing to COVID, because we did see that Wuhan, northern Italy, and New York City, where we saw the worst outbreaks, had a high level of air pollution. I'm not saying that's the explanation, but I wanted to give these scholars an opportunity in my book so that people could get you know, a full picture picture of the potentialities.
Let's talk about Bill Gates. Who should I trust Bill Gates? Should I let him watch my children if I went to the movies or something?
No, I would not trust Bill Gates. I gave him a full chapter because there's so many negatives about Bill Gates. Very strange character. Not only is he pushing for a universal vaccine, or it looks like he's now talking about people getting multiple vaccines. We're talking about DNA altering vaccines, but the Gates Foundation owns 5.3 million shares of Crown Castle International, which is a major 5G provider. I consider that a little bit suspect. He is heavily invested in Monsanto, half a million shares, now owned by Bayer, of course, but they are the producers of genetically modified organisms, which some people think these vaccines will make us, as well as glyphosate. He also is investing in lab-grown meat. He wants to replace the meat we eat with artificial meat. I can't think of anything more gross or disgusting. He's also investing in artificial breast milk, so the babies won't eat natural breast milk. He's also backing a plan to block the sunlight with millions of tons of dust being sprayed into the atmosphere. It seems that anything that's natural, Bill Gates doesn't like it. And I know I don't like Bill Gates. There's a lot more I could say. I do quote Robert F. Kennedy, an extensive post about all the damage his vaccines have done around the world, in India and Africa, another place, very lethal, paralyzing children, killing children. This is not a person you would want to be in charge of your program. He has no medical credentials. Now, I'm an RN. I'm registered nurse for 45 years. It doesn't make me an expert at all on COVID, but Bill Gates is being treated as an expert on COVID, even though he has zero, let me repeat that, zero medical training or credentials.
Let's talk about Event 201, Plandemic 2. Judy Mikovits was a star pretty much of Plandemic 1. Plandemic 2 talks about her again, but then continues with this Event 201, the UN's rollout, the UN's role playing. This is crazy when you see it. When you look at that and read what they were rolling out, you're like, my God, this is all a role playing game to them. This is like Dungeons and Dragons or something. Your thoughts on any of that?
Sure. Event 201, I'm going to quote Spiros Skouras, who's been one of the best reporters. Again, this is in my book. He says, in this report, we take an inside look at Event 201, which took place in New York City on October the 18th, 2019. Event 201 is a high-level pandemic exercise hosted by the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. This is extremely fascinating because this pandemic simulation exercise of coronavirus took place about 6 weeks before the first illness for the coronavirus was actually reported in Wuhan. And actually, quote, in my book, Events 201, own website, where they affirmed that this is a coronavirus exercise based on a pandemic beginning in China. How did they know? How did they know in advance? There's so many of these. But the most alarming thing about Event 201 was how they talked about censorship of fake news. And I give quite a few of the quotes from that in my book, but they talk about censoring the internet, how they have to censor fake news, how they have to shut down social media, and even prosecute people who are spreading fake news, which doesn't mean them, doesn't mean CNN, it means people like the Power Hour, you and me, how they actually want us arrested and prosecuted for opposing the official story. It's quite frightening, but it's very reflective of what we're seeing right now with YouTube, for example, under Susan Wojcicki, censoring anything that virtually anything that disagrees with the World Health Organization, which Bill Gates right now is the biggest backer of financially.
Well, let's talk about Australia. You mentioned censorship and arresting people. I mean, we don't have to imagine this. We can just look at Australia. What do you make of that?
Right. Well, I have a chapter in my book on violations of civil liberties, and I do mention Australia in there, although the most recent events, we saw this woman who was being choked by a policeman for not wearing a mask. And also the a home that was being invaded.
A pregnant woman?
Because yeah. the police said she had incited things on Facebook. She'd objected to the lockdown on Facebook. And so they arrested her, handcuffed her in her home, and took away her computers. And this is Stalinism. This is communism at its worst, and it's happening in what we're supposed to believe are free democratic countries. So this is very dangerous, and it's also further evidence that the COVID so-called pandemic, which, by the way, the Russian head of their ministry's head of COVID information says it's all BS. He says that COVID is all BS. This is their own doctor saying this, and I quote him as well, Dr. Mishikov. To see this happening is further evidence. This is not about protecting the public. It's about centering the public. It's about establishing the police state. It's about bringing in the New World Order, which people like you and I have been warning about for decades now.
Let me, as I look at this, tell my own thoughts on this. And you can see that it's unraveling. The sweater's coming apart, so to speak, on this COVID narrative. I mean, people who I never thought they're now, I mentioned a friend of mine. He was angry. And we never even would talk about this before. I mean, he was like almost apolitical about this. He was angry, ready to like punch a hole in the wall about this COVID. So in my mind, I'm looking at this. This is unraveling. Either they want to create polarization, specifically in America about this, where they're making sides angry or whatever. Either that's their goal, or if they want to go further with this, for them to go further, this fall, this winter, there's going to have to be a heck of a lot more people die. That's my thoughts on this. Do you have similar thoughts? Does anything go through your mind on this that they'll say, okay, you think this is fake? We'll show you fake. I mean, does that go through your mind at all?
Well, in my entire book, COVID-19 and the agendas to come red pill, there's just one sentence which is in bold. And that's where I say that even though we're talking about the death rates being inflated, something could happen that could cause real death rates to increase in the future. And I want to underscore that because I want people to understand that that may happen. Bill Gates has been smirkingly talking about pandemic 2 And he's been saying this.
That's why I bring this up.
Resurgence in October or November. And he says that will get their attention with a little smirk in their, on his face. So I'm wondering, could that be a new bioweapon? Could it be 5G? I don't know. But it seems as if they're anticipating that during the winter, when people will not want to stand outside, it's already inconvenient enough to stand outside a grocery store for half an hour. But imagine doing it in February when it's 0 degrees out. Then they'll really get, persuade people perhaps to take their mandatory vaccine if it is mandatory. I believe that there is a definite possibility we will see some future misery coming, in the matter of increased death rates. We're not seeing it now. Dr. Ron Paul has pointed out in his Ron Paul report that the death rates in America are down 90%. And so instead of talking about deaths, he points this out, and I quote him again in my book, that's why they're talking about cases. They're doing more and more PCR tests, and so they can report, because people have a fragment of DNA, they can say, oh, we've got, 1,000 new cases in Florida or wherever they're talking about. But it may well be that there will be an increase in death rates come the fall or come whenever they plan to do it. I don't know that that's going to happen, but there are certainly some inklings in the things that the hints that they've been dropping that may happen.
We've seen Virginia, the Department of Health there, the head for the state of Virginia, said as soon as the vaccine's available, we're going to make it mandatory. We're going to make it as mandatory as possible. Do you think that any state can make this vaccine mandatory and push it on people?
Yes, I think that because of the control of politicians. We've already seen how Mike Bloomberg bought up the governor and many state legislators in Virginia, which is a very patriotic state, to get very adversarial gun control laws passed there. I believe they could do it just through the control of the political system. But I do have a chapter in my book. It's called 8 Reasons Why We Don't Need a COVID Vaccine. And I start with the fact that even the CDC has admitted, this is before the most recent stats, which are even better, but back in May, the CDC admitted that the death rate from COVID was only 0.26%. Now, that means that 99.74% of all people survive COVID without a vaccine. So why would you want to make it mandatory if so many people can survive? There are many other reasons we don't need the vaccine. That's just one of them. But, yeah, I believe they're going to make it mandatory. In Massachusetts, they've already, where I live, they've already passed a law making it mandatory that all children get a flu vaccine this year, which is crazy because they're keeping the kids home from school by but unfortunately, our political system is so corrupt, and as you can see, our politicians as well as the mainstream media are saying things that are completely illogical at this point, that are not based on science, that even common sense people, and I'm hoping that because the COVID lockdown is hitting people where it hurts, it's hurting them in their pocketbook, it's putting them out of work, that they're going to start to wake up and they're going to start to object, and they're going to start holding their local representatives accountable for the destruction that they've caused.
See, I'm of the opinion, I don't think there's one state in this union that will be able to force vaccinate people. I don't think one state in this, as of right now, I think there's too many people. If this vaccine was available tomorrow, that's why my mind goes, you mentioned Bill Gates and that little devilish smile of his about, oh, they'll get their attention then, in October, November, whatever. There is no way right now, in my opinion, I don't care what any of them said, the vaccine's out, we're going to force you to take it, there would be a revolt. I think people who enforce that, there will be people shot. There's no way I think that it would hold in America right now. I don't.
Yeah, I think it could happen unless there was a resurgence of death. But even in that case, I think what you just describe what happened, that there would be forcible resistance, because too many people know that even if there is increase in death rates, that people are going to resist. They know what this vaccine means. They know the harm. They've watched Vaxxed and Vaxxed 2, the great movies by Del Bigtree. They know how harmful, how toxic these vaccines are, how they've caused autism and so many autoimmune diseases. And it's in the opinion of Judy Mikovits and Dolores Cahill and others, this may be the reason why you do have this what they call cytokine storm in COVID which makes it a little deadlier than the flu, where people get an autoimmune reaction in their lungs. Most autoimmune responses that we've seen have been coming from the vaccines. I can't say definitively that the cytokine storm that you see in COVID comes from vaccines, because we'd need a study to prove that. But I honestly believe that. I do agree with you. There will be great resistance regardless of what happens with death rates, that people will resist being having a mandatory vaccine. And many people, I believe, very rightfully understand that this is part of spiritual warfare, and we're getting awfully close to the mark of the beast. When they talk about digital tattoos, and that's not a conspiracy theory, it's straight from the Rice School of Engineering. I've got the quote in my book where they say they're going to create a digital tattoo that contains everyone's vaccination record that can be read by a smartphone. They're talking about something that you can't buy or sell unless you've got a mark on you. Man, that is about as close as you can get to the mark of the beast as possible. So there's plenty of Christians out there who know about this and are going to resist it.
You mentioned earlier DNA, that this vaccine may be DNA altering. I mean, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the end of humanity as we know it? What do you mean in here?
Well, in my book, 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw, and it's also in my online post called Making Sense of the Supernatural, I wasn't interested in UFOs or aliens for a long time. I thought it was just the Pentagon psyop, until some 9/11 truthers or Christians got me interested in the work of L.A. Marzulli. But if you go back to the Bible and you start to look at the Great Flood, and when I wrote Tornado in a Junkyard, I discovered that the Great Flood did happen. Not only is it contained in over 200 flood legends around the world, but 75% of the world's rock is sedimentary, meaning deposited chiefly by water, and you have these hundreds of billions of fossils which are not being created today. You have to be covered by sediments very quickly. The Great Flood did happen. God did bring it. If you start to look closely at Genesis 6, which talks about the flood, you'll see that prior to that, there was a union between the sons of God, which many of us understand to mean the angels, and the sons of man, meaning there was transhumanism. There was the creation of the giants. Goliath is not the only giant who's discussed in the Bible, but these were transhumanized beings, and God did not want his creation to be transformed. If you, again, this is my article in my book, 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw, but if you look back at the extra canonical books of Enoch, Jubilees, and Jasher, they all confirm that the fallen angels were actually altering the species. They were changing the species. They were changing the way God created the world. And this is one reason, probably the main reason why God had to bring the flood upon the earth, was to reboot the planet and to bring back his original creation. And I believe that when we talk about DARPA and these scientists who are inserting human genes into animals, and they're talking about Dr. Kerry Made, I quote her in my book. She's been very outspoken on this. She's an MD. She's talking about the dangers of these mRNA and DNA vaccines. They will change your DNA. And even the chief medical officer of Moderna in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which is making one of these DNA altering vaccines, has boasted we're hacking the software of life. In other words, we're hacking your DNA. They're going to change your DNA, and that's exactly transhumanism. Just like transgenderism was setting us up for this, transhumanism is forthcoming, and I believe that is a major part of the mark of the beast, that they want to change human DNA so we're no longer even human. And they're going to start saying that since the coronavirus mutates, we need to have multiple, you can get a 3-month certificate of immunity for getting one DNA vaccine, but 3 months later you'll need another DNA vaccine, and they'll keep changing your DNA. I believe that this is satanic, it's Luciferian, it's forthcoming, it is mark of the beast type of stuff. And so, yeah, I believe that there's no question that we're dealing with very dangerous stuff, and Christians are spot on when they realize that this is straight out of the book of Revelation.
Solutions. What can we do? I mean, what you're describing to me, let's assume everything you just said was true, then my life is not as important as stopping this. My family's life is not as important as stopping it. I mean, you're talking, I mean, this is major. Solutions. We have about 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, at the end of the book, I have a chapter called Hope and Encouragement, and I point out that the Bible doesn't end with the Antichrist. It ends with Christ. But I don't want people to think that they shouldn't resist this, because the Lord's Prayer tells us to do God's will on earth as is in heaven. So we have to resist it. And I give many, many examples in the end of the book of doctors, of police officers, of people who are resisting this. I talked about the lawsuit against Governor Whitmer. Even up here in Massachusetts, we've got a lawsuit against Governor Charlie Baker for taking unconstitutional powers. I quote Sarah Cuneo, the MP from the Italian legislature, calling for the arrest of Bill Gates. I have a cartoon that Ben Garrison has let me use, the COVID-1984, where Bill Gates is presiding over a 1984 world. I quote Marat Safin, the world chess world tennis champion, who has said that this is a plan against humanity. I didn't have time to mention that, you know, the very recent 2 million person turnout in Germany protesting the lockdowns, but I try to give people a lot of hope that there are a lot of people rising up, and I think it's vital that we resist this. And I think God wants us to resist it with all our might. No question about it.
Well, I mean, if you're Christian, I don't see how you could say anything else other than that. I mean, how can you not say, do you think God wants you to accept this? Then we worship a different God, I guess. I don't know. Are you familiar at all with Richard Mack, his work with CSPOA?
You're talking about Sheriff Richard Mack?
Yes, yes.
I'm familiar with him. I don't think I might not be familiar with the item you just mentioned.
All right, it's the end of the show. The reason I bring it, this is a big deal. The sheriffs are getting together, and sheriffs in certain communities, one of the reasons Idaho that you've seen these mask laws be stopped is these sheriffs have said, we're not doing it. We're stopping it. And this is a big deal that Sheriff Mack is getting this. A sheriff can stop it in any county. Doesn't matter what the president say. Doesn't matter what Bill Gates says. It doesn't matter. A sheriff can stop it. This is a big deal. JamesPerloff.com, the book. Love the book, COVID-19 Red Pilled. This is an excellent book. Here, read this. What do you think about this? Easy, quick, reference, simple, love it. James, it's a pleasure to have you on as always. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you and God bless the audience.
Stay right there. Ladies and gentlemen, we want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you. Thank you for listening to the Power Hour. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Stay there, James.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.